Hi, today is Sunday, September 18th, and welcome to the NoSillaCast podcast. A podcast by Allison Sheridan with a just ever so slight Macintosh bent. Today is show number 8, and I'm rather proud of that because they say that people start podcasting and they do it for 4 or 5 podcasts and then they lose interest and they never do it again. Thanks to some people like Jay Jacobs on Mac Hackers, I kept getting prod saying, "Hey, why haven't you podcasted?" Because I did lose interest after about 4 or 5. I started to slow down and lose my energy. But my energy's back up, and I want to thank those who gave me a big boost in the pants there. Well, on a personal level, my daughter Lindsay has left us for college. I know I should be feeling grateful because she's only down at UC San Diego and we're in Los Angeles, but it's kind of weird to have her gone after 18 years of living here. The good news for my son Kyle is that we now told him that he's the favorite child because he's living at home. But our cat Ricky's kind of running neck and neck on that, so we'll see how it works out for Kyle. I'm kind of very happy with the support I've gotten from my family and friends. Got a really nice call from my mom asking how I was, which was a real treat. I got a call from my friend Diane, and she checked up on me, and my buddy Ron came over and just gave me a big hug and congratulated me on the success of getting our daughter all the way to college. So that was pretty cool. And my friends Melissa and Susan have been emailing me and suggesting solutions for how I should keep from killing myself here after this. I am quite proud to announce that I did not have to get a tattoo like some people I know who solve their issue with that. Anyway. All right. Today I'm going to talk about a couple of interesting things. I'm working on a new hosting site for the NoSillaCast, and I'll give you some details on that. I have a couple more shareware applications I wanted to chat through, and I wanted to talk about, answer the question perhaps, is Windows over? I also want to tell you why I think web TV is good, and I have an article from the Wall Street Journal that might be of some interest, and I want to talk about some upcoming interviews that I'm... Last time I talked about the idea of maybe doing this podcasting thing for real. I ought to host my podcast on a real website instead of just using my Mac.com address. Since then, I've gotten a little more serious about this. I registered a domain name. We're now going to be hosting here on podfeet.com. Podfeet is kind of a little play on words there. My husband Steve frequently says that I have feet like pods, and that's because he's got skinny little flipper feet, and that's why he thinks my feet are like pods. But anyway, it has the pod thing, kind of like with podcasting. Seemed like kind of a memorable name too. Seemed like fun. So I did register the domain name podfeet.com or www.podfeet.com, and I bought into a web hosting service. But I don't really have much up yet. I've started writing, and I'm starting to do some work on it. And there'll be a lot more to come. The hosting service I chose is VisaWeb, and I've set up a couple of websites for other people on VisaWeb before, but I used a little bit more of a low-end account because there wasn't expected to be a lot of traffic, but I'm going crazy here. I went for the $6 a month plan. Now, surprisingly enough, for $6 a month, you get the domain name registration, so podfeet.com, I registered through them, and I get 70 gigabytes a month. And I did some math on that, on how many downloads that was, and it seemed like it was a lot. So it seemed like I'd be able to become moderately famous and still keep within that. Also get a gigabyte of free disk space. Let me see, I think I queued it up so I could see what else you can have there. So 70 gigabytes bandwidth a month, a gigabyte of space, unlimited email accounts. You can get unlimited subdomains, so like Allison or NoSilla.podfeet.com might be a subdomain. Ooh, I hadn't thought about that. Maybe that's what I'll do. You can get MySQL databases. Basically, they populate the web hosting service with a bunch of open source solutions, but they package them together so you don't have to install these different things. So MySQL is an open source database program. It's got FTP accounts. I'm not going to read all this. It's a whole bunch of junk I don't understand. One of the things that I'm starting to mess around with is a tool called Mambo, and it's a way of creating websites a little less by hand but more professional looking in the end game. Or at least that's what my buddy Niraj tells me. So Niraj is working on convincing me to do this, and we're fumbling around, or I'm fumbling. He knows what he's doing. And we're starting to look at ways that might be interesting to set this thing up. If I get too bored with it, though, I'll just code it by hand and have a few buttons that say click here to get the podcast kind of thing. But I want to learn new things, so I'm trying to learn what this Mambo thing is all about. So more on that later when I figure that out. It does have another thing called PHPBB, which is an open source bulletin board. So if I can ever figure out how to get that working, maybe we could have a little bulletin board going here where people could give suggestions for things that I could do on my podcast, which again is what I hope for in going with a little more public podcast where I can have an email address that I'm not afraid of, destroying my home email address and start getting ideas, get a little audience participation going. I think that would be a lot of fun. Let's see, was there anything else on that? I think that's about it for now. I got a couple more shareware applications I wanted to talk about. When I last did a review on shareware applications or freeware applications, I talked about a program called Azurius. And Azurius is a BitTorrent aggregator that allows you to download BitTorrent files and upload BitTorrent files in order to receive and share large files like Linux distributions, or if there's some video online that you're interested in. And I went into a whole thing about the ethics of that, so I won't go into that here. But that was, let me see, what date was that? That was back on the show on July 5th. So anyway, but I've become disenchanted with Azurius in the last 6 months or so, 3 months. It started to have a lot of problems. Like if I come back into my house with my PowerBook and I pick up a new IP address from my router, I have to remember to go in and tell Azurius that I changed addresses. Well, I don't always remember to go look and see what my IP address is every day, so I usually assume it's there. And if it's not there, Azurius just runs really slowly, and then I spend a lot of time trying to figure it out why. It also, all of these require you to open holes in your router, but you have to tell Azurius which port you're gonna go through. So 6881 to 6889 are the ports to choose from, but you have to tell it which one. You have to test it, and I don't know. After a while, it stopped working for me altogether, so I couldn't get anything to go. So I found a program called Bits on Wheels, and I like the opening line they have on their website on bitsonwheels.com. Is it says, live 3D view of your swarm. Well, the swarm is the people who are getting data from you while you're giving data to them. And it is kind of cool. It's got kind of fun graphics. It shows, for example, different colors of, like if you're just sharing with one other person or two other people, there'll be like two cubes near yours. The fullness of your cube, when it's full, when you've got the file you're looking for, it turns blue or turquoise. And then when you're sharing with somebody, it's red. So you get different colors going on. You get these 3D views. You can see how many people are connected to you in the swarm. It's kind of fun, but, probably the thing I'm most pleased with is under the preferences menu. Under outside IP address, you have a choice of saying automatic. So it automatically figures out what your IP address is. It goes out to your network card, figures out what address it picked up, and it uses it. So I don't have to remember to check. It also allows you to choose a range of ports. So I don't have to just tell it one port. Now I can tell it 6881 all the way to 6889. So far, that seems to be working better for me. I'm getting more consistent speeds. In Azurius, I did like some of the graphs you could get. You could see a real-time graph of what your speeds have been as a function of time, so it was a good way to analyze it. But I was usually analyzing why it wasn't working, so that didn't help work for me. So anyway, Bits on Wheels from bitsonwheels.com. It's kind of fun. I like a new application every day anyway, so what the heck. Another application I've used frequently and I didn't mention before is called JAlbum. It's a Java-based tool, which there's copies of this for different operating systems. I should probably have checked into how many different operating systems it works under, but I know it's an open-source Java-based application, so I think it works under quite a few. What JAlbum does for you is it allows you to create web pages from photo albums. So it's kind of nice because it's got a lot of drag and drop features. Like you just take a directory that you want to make an album out of and you drag it into the image directory window. And then you come up with another another folder where you want to put your web stuff when you're done, and you drag that into the output directory. Then you get to choose your sizes of your thumbnails from a little pull down, and you can change the sizes of the images that come out. Have a lot of variability there, 400 by 400 up to 1024 by 1024, so you can make pretty big images if you want. And your thumbnails can go from 90 pixels to 240 pixels. You can ask it to order them by date or by name. So sometimes you're at a party, you want to do the sequence. If it's a surprise party, obviously you'd want it in sequential order. But sometimes you name them so that you've forced a certain order, like you want to call it 01, 02, 03, that sort of thing. So you can do it by that. Then the fun starts when you get into the appearance. There's about 20 different appearance skins that you can choose from, and some of them are very pretty. Like there's a wedding one. That's all pretty, flowery, pink and stuff, and got little flower kind of things. And you can choose. There's an XP one. There's one that's kind of cool called Camera Geek, and it inserts a whole lot of information about each photo. What ISO were you shooting at? What speed was the film the digital film, that sort of thing. So that's kind of fun. And then within each skin choice, there's a bunch of styles within them. So like within Camera Geek, you have bright, custom, dark, and sunset. So there's different options you can see within that. You can always see a preview. I shouldn't say always. You can frequently see a preview of a skin. You can't usually see the style changes, but at least you can see a preview in a lot of them. So you can see what is that probably going to look like. So anyway, once you've chosen all those things, there's a whole bunch of other buttons. But then you can choose rebuild or make album, and it'll create the web album for you. It creates an index file, it creates a little folder of thumbnails, and it creates the web pages themselves and the scaled down images. It's real quick. It's easy to play with, and I've had a lot of fun with it. It makes it just an easy way to slap something up on the web. Did have some trouble with some pictures coming out real grainy one time, and I don't know why that was, because the next time I tried to use it, I didn't have any trouble. And I don't know, maybe I just need to go to sleep and start it over again the next day. But this is free, and it comes from jalbum.net, and a great little freeware application that helps me out a lot, and I haven't had any trouble with except that one time, so you might want to go check it out. Well, I was listening to the TwitCast, This Week in Tech, which is a show hosted by Leo Laporte and the other members of the Screensavers that he used to work with, Patrick Norton and a couple other guys. And they also have Kevin Rose from the Screensavers, and John C. Dvorak calls in frequently. And that's been entertaining just by itself, because John C. Dvorak can't seem to find a microphone that works. But they keep trying to get him on. They've had him on the phone. They've had him on Skype. They've had him on every kind of application, all different microphones. It's been pretty good comedy there. They also had these guys are just a bunch of guys that sit around and talk about what's going on in technology, and it was kind of an endearing style to it. Sometimes when Leo's not there, I think the energy gets awfully low, and I don't enjoy that so much. But when they're all there, a bunch of them are there, it gets kind of exciting, and they argue about stuff, and that's a lot of fun. The reason I brought them up is because they had an interesting discussion a little while ago about whether Windows is just over. And it was kind of an interesting discussion they had. They were saying, well, you know what? Maybe Microsoft just isn't going to do anything new. There's just not going to be anything interesting coming out. So maybe they should just, close the doors and, just say, thanks. You know, we've made enough money. This is good enough. We've had some fun. We wrote some good software, and we're done now. Let's let somebody else do the work, because we're done. And I started thinking about it, and I was trying to think of things that anything that Microsoft had come up with that was new or innovative or interesting in the last couple of years. And there really isn't anything that I can think of. And I'd sure like to be corrected on this if I'm missing it. But I was just thinking about like the simple functionality change in iTunes from 4.8 to 4.9 when they added podcasting. So they got iTunes added this whole feature list of new tools, things you could do, of the ability to go into the podcast directory and search by different categories, and you could subscribe. They had the subscribe button there, and you could. There's arguments about whether Apple did this right, and I have some arguments with them themselves, but they brought a whole new functionality to this application that wasn't there before, and of course is free, and it's free for Windows, and it's free for the Mac. And I was trying to think, has there been a single thing like that in the last two or three years for Microsoft? Has there been anything that really just that simple functionality change in a point release of one product of from Apple? Has there been anything like that from Microsoft? And you know what? Maybe they are done. The next operating system is due out in December of 2006. So they're, and it's not like something going from Jaguar to Tiger has been this massive change, but at least it's been change. It's been interesting. There's been new stuff you can do. And I just, you know what? There hasn't been anything from Microsoft in a very, very long time. So maybe their time is up. Maybe the excitement is over. Leo made another comment that I certainly do embrace, is the only thing I can think of worse than Microsoft being a monopoly would be if Steve Jobs owned a monopoly. That just makes my blood run cold, the idea of that. So I don't want him to get that good. Maybe 30% kind of numbers would be fun, though. Let's see. Oh, this is going to be an interesting thing here. I've got a buddy named Harry, who is somewhere around 85 to 88 years old, somewhere in that range, and he has web TV. And I'm telling you, I love web TV. I think web TV is really, really cool, and I'll tell you why. Well, web TV was originally bought a couple of years ago by Microsoft, and now it's called MSN TV, but same thing. I'm going to call it web TV for the sake of argument. So he bought this web TV, and it's $100 for this little unit. Hooks up to your TV, gives you a wireless keyboard, no mouse to deal with, and a remote control, and you're able to get on the web and check and have email through a television. It sounds like really limited functionality, and it is, but it's not very much a month. I think he pays $10 a month for dial-up service, and actually you can get broadband ones now that are not a lot more money. I think they're, I don't know, $200 or something in that range. But this tool is so cool because of its complete simplicity. It doesn't do a lot, but what it does really well. And it really came out when Harry calls me up one time and he says, you know, I would really like to be able to print out some of my emails because they keep telling me my email box is full, but I can't do anything about it. So I'd really like to be able to print some of these out. And I thought, geez, you know, How do you hook a printer up to web TV? I mean, how do you load drivers? How do you tell it what kind of printer to go to? I don't know what to do. So I went out on the web and I started searching for printers and web TV, and I Googled for quite a long time before I found a really, really old cached page that had a list of the printers that were compatible with web TV. And to my great delight, all three of the printers I had in my house were compatible with Harry's web TV. So luckily, I kind of wanted a new printer. So, you know, taking the opportunity here to be a philanthropist and help him out, I grabbed my HP 970 CSE, and I went over to CompUSA and I bought a cable for it, a parallel cable, since I didn't have one of those. I charged Harry all $9 that it cost me, of course. And I went over there and I said, okay, Harry, you know what? This is just going to work or it's not going to work because there's nothing to do. You know, there's no drivers, there are no downloads, there's nothing to do. So I plugged this thing in and I turned on the printer and I went to print and it did. It actually just did. It just did what it was supposed to do. It was the most unbelievable experience. I mean, it took me, you know, 1 minute to set this thing up and he was able to print. And I was just sat there thinking, man, this is what it's supposed to be like. You're just supposed to plug it in and it works. Wouldn't that be marvelous if our computers actually worked that way? Oh, well, we can dream, can't we? But anyway, I'm telling you, if you got a relative who just wants to get email and surf the web and they don't want to be able to do anything else, you can't watch QuickTime movies, you can't watch, you can't do any kind of, you know, highly rich media with it, listen to WAV files or watch MPEG movies or do Flash or anything like that. But if that's all they want is to get email and, you know, go surfing on the web, this is a tremendous little device. Let's see, I wanted to talk about a Wall Street Journal article that came out on September 15th that really kind of makes me crazy. But there's a new wireless protocol coming soon called 802.11n. You've probably heard of 802.11b and g and maybe even a. But it's the wireless service that allows you to do wireless access to the internet, either in your house or a hotspot like Starbucks or one of those kind of places. And the number refers to the IEEE standards for it. So I think it's IEEE.
But the standard for it is called 802.11, and then these letters define different ones. So it turns out this new one, 802.11n, is expected to be much higher bandwidth, able to get a lot faster speeds, and great range, actually. Some of the range is really good. And you could actually find, if you go to the store right now, there's ones called pre-N, and that's where people have created a one without actually following the standards yet, since the standards have not been agreed to. They're actually fairly successful, but I'm still mad at these guys, because Airgo Networks, that's A-I-R-G-O, has decided to just start bypassing the standards committee completely. They've decided that they don't want to wait for the standards to be set. They're going to be set in the next 12 months. But the initial agreement will be reached by November, but they decided that they don't want to wait. Their technology can send data over wireless networks at speeds of up to 240 megabits per second, and which is four times the top speed of the fastest Wi-Fi networks today, and more than twice the speed of the hardwired Ethernet connections that you have in many homes and offices. It makes me crazy, though, when anybody goes off and doesn't do the standards. I'm a huge believer in this. I know we all remember or maybe those of us in my generation remember the VHS beta wars, and we don't want to do that. We've already got a big mess coming with the the high definition discs that are going to start coming out between Blu-ray and HDTV, HD format and all that. But I just really wish that these people would think of the consumer in the end game, that we really don't want a bunch of different standards floating around. And I think it's just mean when they don't follow it. Well, that's all I'm going to rant about that. So it looks like I'm going to be able to do a podcast with my friend Ron soon. Ron and I sat down and spent a couple hours playing around with Audacity, our recording tool, and Wiretap Pro, and surfing the internet and playing with different microphones and arguing about line-in and USB and digital and analog and setting levels. And oh, we talked decibels. It was just grand. But we did a couple of fun experiments playing around with the mics, and we think we might be able to make an interesting podcast together. So hopefully in the not too distant future, you'll get to hear the two of us argue about technology or debate about technology, or if it's late enough in the evening, who knows, we might discuss philosophy. We've been known to talk for hours and hours about how to manage people, but that would probably not be that interesting for the rest of you. But anyway, I promise you that you'll find Ron at least as interesting as me, if not significantly more so. So look forward to that, and we will be in touch soon. And I think I'm going to wind it up here at about 23 minutes. So thank you very much for staying subscribed to the NoSilla Cast, and we will say goodnight. Planning.